Live from Los Angeles, this is Bachelor Masters on Twitter, at Bachelor Masters. I'm Craig, and with me, as always, is Chris from the new Cinema Boof channel on YouTube.
Give you the lowdown, we, my co-host tonight, if the latest from Hollywood is boof, or bad, or good. One or the other, or the other, and yes.
So sometimes, is that some 20-mile zone lingo, boof?
You know, I'm learning a lot of things. The longer I stay alive, the longer I don't die. And yes, boof is the multi-purpose word that can mean a lot of different things. So I encourage y'all to just check out the channel to see what it could mean.
Well, I'm a subscriber, a definite fan, and I think our fan base of Bachelor Masters is growing. I think we're slowly creeping towards 20 listeners, I think, which is quite remarkable considering we're only towards the end of our very first season of recording this podcast.
Well, I would say so, especially as we get toward the milestone of a Bachelor in Paradise season beginning the Bachelorette season ending. I think you and I, Craig, we've talked privately, especially that this first season of the show has been kind of our experiment in getting this podcast going, and we're feeling more and more comfortable.
Yeah.
And I think Bachelor in Paradise will be when we hit our full stride. So thanks to all 20 listeners.
Yes.
And yourself,
we're not quite
Craig.
There yet, but we're getting there. We're kind of like Eric. You know, we didn't have confidence at the beginning, but it's growing. We still got a little while to go. We're not like Brian, who had confidence from day one.
Oh, he was getting tongues and throats on day one.
You know, I still cannot watch him kiss. I literally put my hand up over the screen when they kiss. It's just awful. I mean, he's just like, he's like the alien from the Alien movies with that inner alien out of the mouth that like...
Oh, yeah, just... I know what you mean. It's a little bit something, and that's, I think, part of the reason I forget that he's this 37 or 38-year-old man, however old he is, because he does seem like he's kissing like a 15-year-old, you know, like he's got the hormones of a 15-year-old.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, like, that's something you don't really do or think of much as a person, is, like, how do I look kissing? But, I mean, somebody must have told him at some point, like, don't swallow my mouth. Don't put, like, your lips shouldn't completely encompass their lips, right? They kind of interlock.
I think so, but I guess there's lots of different ways to approach it. And I think as a chiropractic physician, maybe that affects how he kisses.
Right. Well, I'm sure he's done, like, CPR on dummies and, you know, done stuff like that. So you would think he would be professionally trained, but he is not. I got a lot to say about Brian. I know you do too. I have, I think, the most to say about Peter. I think, the complete opposite opinion of their whole thing than the rest of Bachelor Nation. Following the Twitters and the other podcasts, it seemed that the consensus is that she really liked Peter the most, and it just wasn't working out with the whole, you know, engagement thing, and then she kind of settled for Brian. I actually have a completely different read on it. I'm going to go out there on a limb, but I'll wait until we get to that part in the podcast so I don't repeat myself.
Well, it wouldn't be Bachelor Masters if there weren't a completely different read on things. So.
You know, I was thinking about that a lot, actually. You know, I was thinking that we typically have, you know, you and I think we've come to the conclusion that we have a little bit of a different take than the other, you know, reviewers or podcasters. And I think that's, of course, healthy. But I think, you know, we agree on some things. I actually think, except for the Peter card, I think as like thinking of the episode as a full deck, I actually think and I don't want to speak for you, Chris, I think I have a pretty consensus view on sort of the whole episode as a whole. It seemed that people were not thrilled with the episode, and they were particularly turned off by Rachel's actions during the actual engagement at the end, at the Windy winery covenant thing, whatever that is, convent.
Okay. And she's with Brian. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. And she, you know, there's lots of banter about how she acted and how she, you know, did she, I mean, the way she was kind of pushing for the ring more than anything else seemed, it just seemed to really put people off. And I think the whole tone of the whole episode was a little bit like that. It's just, you know, when she got up there with three guys right before she cut Eric and she's like, you know, I'm only doing this to get engaged. If you're not ready to be engaged, it's just like, she seemed to zero in on that quite like a laser focus, and it really seemed to put off a lot of people. And I'm in agreement with that.
Well, definitely. I don't know if I had thought about whether it put me off or not, but I'm definitely in agreement that her actions and the way it's cut makes it all laser in on that engagement question. I mean, that's right there from the one-on-one time that she has with Peter where they go to see some sort of monk or something in Spain. And he asks them in this very convoluted, I thought that was kind of funny. It was one of those weird bachelor things where it was so weird and kind of so on the nose.
Engaged in order to fall in love.
Exactly. And basically they both get to say their points of view that we all know. Right. And the monk gets to give this kind of sage wisdom that's kind of on the side of Rachel, which is like, listen, don't take these things too seriously, you know, or at least I read it as being kind of on the side of Rachel. I guess you could just kind of see it as kind of generic conflict resolution, that it's like, basically, don't not bend because you're too proud, or, you know, don't. Well, yeah, but I thought that was hilarious.
Well, as always, Chris, you have a very insightful read on the happenings of The Bachelorette, and I look forward to getting into this with you. You know, we're in for the long haul here. Even on Hulu, our unofficial sponsor of The Bachelor Masters, it's 2 hours and 5 minutes. So that's 2 hours and 5 minutes without commercials, right? So I don't know if we'll make it 2 hours. I mean, do people listen to podcasts for 2 hours? I mean, there are podcasts that are like 3 hours, but those are like, you know, like not Bachelor podcasts.
And those probably have some sort of sexy photos that people have on their phones while they listen. So what they're doing is being sort of stimulated in a way we haven't figured that part out yet. As soon as we get, you know, shirtless photos of ourselves up on the podcast.
We do need to take publicity photos, Chris, for maybe for our Facebook page, which we're going to put live this coming week. So look for Bachelor Masters on Facebook. All right, so things are kicking off here on Hulu, our unofficial sponsor. She's wrapping up with Peter.
Yeah.
So do I go into it now? Do I start my whole thing on what I think is really going on here, or should we hold off until after we cut Eric? What do you think?
Well, first comment on that, and then you can decide if you want to go on. My comment is Eric definitely gets the short shrift in this episode again.
Again, of course.
Had forgotten that we got his overnight at the end of last episode because I was kind of waiting for him to get his equal time in the show. And I thought it was funny that he was kind of unceremoniously dumped early in the episode.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to get that out of the way. But maybe it's best to get into the theory on Peter when we spend that kind of breakup section with him.
Okay, so we can kind of dance around it a little bit, but I do think we should give Eric a lot of time here, because as loyal listeners to The Bachelor Masters would already know, we are fans of Eric. We like Eric a lot. Sure, he's got his things, but, you know, he's a little inexperienced, but for Christ's sakes, everyone on this show has something wrong with them. I mean, they're on a television show where you go on 3 one-on-ones total to meet the person you're going to get engaged to. Now, let me kind of get in a little bit with what's this. Okay. Everyone's on Twitter. Here we go. Let me preface. When I say everyone, what I mean by everyone is like the Twitter sphere and listening to a few other podcasts. Okay. And I also follow like reality TV news site. So that's just when I say everything, it's like the consensus view that I get. Everyone seems to really like Peter. And I don't know if that's because like people in the upper Midwest, like, are online more, like, social media. Like, he's sort of the hometown favorite.
Yeah.
I just do not get it. You know, I've had a thing for Peter since, you know, since mid-season. I just don't get it.
Absolutely.
I don't really think he's all that good looking. He's certainly not charming.
As you've said, the best he can do is his Bear Grylls mode.
Yeah, his Bear Grylls
mode. Usually not
on top
in
of
Bear
mountain.
Grylls mode.
No,
exactly.
Not at all. And, you know, he really turned me off when they were in Wisconsin and he decided to wear his gray pocket tee. And he kind of dresses all schleppy this whole time anyway. So, okay, his whole thing is, I don't want to get engaged because I don't really see why we need to get engaged. You could pick me, you know, we can date, and then I'll be really ready to be engaged because I only want to do it once. So
right.
He's throwing the moral superiority card on us, right?
Yeah.
You're on The Bachelorette, which is a show where you date. They eliminate 30 people. You go on 3 one-on-ones to make it to the end, and then you get engaged. And that's your thing, is you're not going to get engaged?
I totally agree. I think that if there's a scheme here, there's the transparency in it. Because when you listen to any of Peter and Rachel's conversations about marriage, it's clear that in the context of the show, and Rachel makes abundantly clear, the engagement is the stand-in for dating, basically, at the end.
Yeah.
It's not...
It's just like, you're the winner, we're going to get engaged, that's how the show works, and that's the rules of the game.
Exactly. They don't have it's not an engagement where there's, like, a wedding the next month. It's sort of left very vague while the couple gets to know each other. And Rachel even, I thought, to her credit, kind of throws out a line like that at some point where she sort of says to Peter, listen, you're putting these expectations on yourself in different words. But he says something like, this is something I can only do once. And she says you or something like that. And he says, right, it's my choice.
Right.
Something, you know, he kind of doubles down.
I
just don't understand it. And I have little patience for it as well.
Well, as is often the case with, you know, moral superiority, it's completely evaporates because it's like, I'm throwing, like, this, like, I don't think it's, like, a religious thing. It could be. I think they're all religious at this point. Like, she's religious, so they're kind of religious. But I don't know. I don't know enough about the rules of marriage and to really. I don't know what religion is yet, so I'm not really going to go there. But
it kind of seems like everyone's religious in this show the way anyone who runs for president is religious,
yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah. That's a good way of putting it. But, like, okay, so let's just take that out of the conversation and just kind of go after the moral superiority of, like, I want to be engaged once, which is fine. But then he's like, then, like, seconds later, she pulls out the sex room and he's like, yeah, let's go. It's like, okay, you're all right having a one night. Well, okay. It's not exactly a one night stand. It's like the third date. You're all right having sex on the third date, but, you know, engagement's forever on a reality TV dating show.
I thought that was another.
I feel like an idiot just saying it because it's so obvious to me. I mean, it's just like why are we spending time on our podcast talking about this?
But the way
stupid.
He justifies it is so funny because it is like he goes from sort of like condescending male boyfriend mode. Like, listen, let me explain to you the way that the moral world works too. Right. But we should spend as much time together.
Yeah,
don't you?
Yeah.
Like, he looks like he can't help but like be horny in that moment.
Yeah. And there's that like super long pause. They're like, all right, well, that's what we have to say about that long pause. So you want to go up to the fantasy suite? Okay. I mean, God, it's just another case where like these dates are not how dates. Well, okay. I keep stopping myself because I try to like say like, well, this isn't really how reality works, but I guess it probably, I mean, there's, but you know, like, especially with Tinder and stuff, you go out, you may, yeah, I've never done this, but you go out and maybe don't really have a good date, but you, all right, let's go have sex. I mean, sure. You know, everyone wants to be fulfilled and sometimes sex can be abstracted from actual feelings. So that's fine too. But like they clearly were not getting along at all.
Yeah.
About this whole thing. And then she's like, oh, all right, let's go up. I mean, and then the way she flips around on him later, and we'll get to this, I think, later, which is where she's like, well, even if you told me you want to get engaged with me now, you're just going to say that because of me. You know, it's like she kind of flips around on him and gives him no way out. It's like, how was this last night any different? It's like,
that conversation that you're talking about was ridiculous because it was like they had both obviously gotten to a stalemate and neither of them would accept either the other to change positions.
Right.
Like even that violated what they had come to believe and expect from one another. I thought that was ridiculous where it's like, well, you've already said that you won't do this. So now if you switch, I'll know that you're not being sincere and that's not like acceptable. And I couldn't wrap my head around that. Yeah. I thought that they both put each other in an obviously impossible situation. But Rachel, even though I think she might be wrong in the specific sense, she seemed right in the larger sense, which is, you know, she sort of cuts Peter unceremoniously by saying like, oh, this dude doesn't know what he wants. He's right. Gone. And I thought, okay, well, that's true. She has been very clear with her objective in the show. And I do think that one of Peter's failings in the larger sense is maybe it's not that he doesn't know what he wants because he will always say he does. But that, to your point, it's not realistic. It doesn't fall in line with the show. Do you know what the show is at all?
Right.
You know? And
yeah, there's always that. I mean, every season, there's always that person who, like, panics or something. Like the rules of the game suddenly aren't jiving with their thing. You know, it's like suddenly they're going to raise a stink about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It is the whole reason the show works is because it's a pressure cooker. You know, it goes quick. The people are in these, like, confined spaces. So it's really hard to know what it would really be like for any of us to be in these situations. And so maybe Peter was, like, literally having, like, a little bit of a freak out. Like, this is a reality. You know, I didn't think I'd make it this far. And it's
yeah.
Like,
I can understand.
Keep pushing on. I mean, it's...
I know.
Maybe it's because I don't think I have too many, like hang-ups. Like, I don't think I have anything that I would be so hard and fast about that it would, like, stop whatever direction I was headed. Like, it would break up a relationship or it would, like, you know, I quit my job or, you know, I have things that upset me and, you know, it's not like I don't get upset, but it's like I don't have any, like, gigantic, like, you know, that one thing. It's like Peter, if I were in his position, I would just say, you know, I really... really only want to get engaged once. You know, this show's kind of freaking me out because it's like, you and I still have a ways to go. And she said, well, you know, if engagement's really important to me and I see it as maybe not being quite as important as you do in that sort of like life milestone things. I mean, yeah. I would just be like, okay, you know what? You're right. But like, he just kept like pushing on it. To the point where that's essentially what broke them up. And
yeah.
And that's why I have the theory that I have about them. But I'll save that until we get to Peter again here.
Well, I know you've only danced around the theory, so I'm guessing at what your theory is. But I'm sort of inferring that I agree with at least what I can kind of tell about your theory. Because... I don't mean to put, if I've misinterpreted, I'm not putting words in your mouth, but this is what I think. I feel that maybe Peter's deal comes from not so much his belief or, you know, his morals, but like, he just isn't that into this thing.
Yeah.
And he is bad at,
well,
at
see,
just
that's like,
getting
actually,
out.
You read me perfectly, except I take it one step further. I think Peter didn't want to end up with her. Like,
yeah.
Well, he would have liked her as like a casual girlfriend.
Right.
Like he didn't see it going anywhere. But my theory actually extends that. I actually think she didn't really want to be with him either, which goes so against what every other blog, tweet, podcast is saying. They all think that she loved Peter. That's who she wanted to be with. Brian perhaps is a close second, but I think she was trying to weasel out of it too.
Yeah, she's good at playing, you know, this role. So that's where it's
they
hard
both
for me
just
to read.
Didn't want
to
be the person that broke up with the other person.
Yeah,
like he straight up didn't want to break up with her because he just either doesn't have that conviction or thought it would not play well on TV or wanted, you know, the maybe he understood that he needs to make it past the rose ceremony.
Yeah.
Or maybe even she understood that. Like, I think there's a number of reasons why they couldn't just say it's over.
Yeah, I'd buy that.
And there's lots of evidence that might indicate that she liked him the most because, like, you know, she has been very upfront that she wants a ring. And so that is something she would stand up for. And she kept trying to convince him that it wasn't a big deal. But they both approached that kind of continuing argument in such a way. They both immediately positioned themselves that there was no way for the other person to win.
Which
I don't think you would do if you really wanted the person to win.
Yeah.
Like, I just think they both came into it like, you're going to get second anyway. I don't know. I wish I had a little bit more of concrete backing up of my theory here. But I really think that they both were trying to weasel out of it.
Well, part of my feeling in agreeing with you is, well, I could be projecting because we've both said neither of us have really liked Peter along. I've never really particularly disliked him. He's just fallen into that category of sort of like bland, you know, whatever, pseudo alpha male, like the alpha the bachelor's version of the alpha male, in that he seems like he has a lot of friends, but you can't really put your finger on like what really defines or characterizes this person. If you were in a movie, I don't know what his defining characteristic would be. It's like he likes wine and paint night and going to the farmer's market. Right. And
wine and paint night.
Remember?
Right. That sounds like that that sounds like a good time.
But I think there's got to be an incredible, you know, amount of ego that starts to flare up in a different way toward the end of this in the show. And that's sort of where I was, because I guess I could understand. I didn't realize that people thought that she liked him best. She gets most emotional with him in this episode. Right. And I think you could read that as feelings. But what I see it as is, well, you, if you're the bachelor, bachelorette, expect that people are fawning all, you have all of this power. And I think regardless of if you like someone or not, it can be, I would think, emotionally really, really difficult to have anyone kind of rebuke you in any way. You want to be calling all of those shots. Like, you want to be seen as winning, quote unquote, winning the season. So I think as that purse bachelor, bachelorette, what position can you take other than I'm here to get married? Like, you want to be clear, and you can't be on that side and be like, listen, I'm not sure if at the end of this, or correct me if I'm wrong historically, since you know people who probably have had all sorts of positions on marriage. But I think that she is very savvy and sort of like her persona on camera, and she comes off very well. And part of that is like, well, you've got to have this act that it's like, I know what I'm here for. I want to end up married at the end. And I think that, you know, yeah, Peter got far along enough and also doesn't want to, quote, lose. It's like you want to win. But I never felt like there was like really romantic feelings on either side either.
For a number of reasons. I mean, I think kind of going to what you're saying, I think more so this episode than any other, Rachel's sort of more real personality came out a little bit. You know, she's a lawyer. She seems like kind of an alpha female. She knows what she wants. She goes to get it. You know, she went through law school. That's not easy. You know, so it's like, so she wanted a ring, and she seems to be hung up on, if she doesn't get the ring, it's somehow an embarrassment to her and her narrative on the show. And let's not forget, she was on The Bachelor, so it's like she signed up for this. There's a certain, like, I want to be on reality TV. This is my vision of how this is going to go. And that she doesn't want to be embarrassed up there. I think most people agree that that's kind of her MO there at the end. And so the Peter thing really kind of disrupted that in such a way that a little bit more of her real personality came out, because I don't think she was kind of expecting that.
But
kind of going further back to what you were saying, you know, just thinking about Peter in general, I mean, there are relationships where people fight a lot and they get off on that. And, you know, because, like, I don't know, the sex is good or whatever. It's like, you know, but it usually, you know, when a flame burns very bright, it burns twice as fast, right? They usually don't last, right?
But, right.
You know, they didn't really seem to connect all that much. And having a huge, what's a pretty significant disagreement is not good. So just on, like, a, like you said, like, a, just a getting along romantic level, I agree. I just don't see it. But looks-wise, I just don't really understand what everyone's goo-goo-gaga over. I mean, I just don't think he's that great of a looking guy. He's very skinny. And I'm not knocking skinny people, but he has this, like, head that... He has a very long chin. And his head kind of comes out, and it looks... His head looks like it's always, like, a like it's wobbly on top of his thin body. Like, thin people have thin head, but his head kind of pokes out. It looks a little unstable. Whereas, you know, you got Brian, who's a thicker guy, and, you know, maybe I can, you know, not everyone's attracted to that, but he's kind of like well proportioned, and mm-hmm. she seems to like naturally be drawn to like his sort of like good symmetry and whatnot. Like, you put them side by side, I just don't see what. People, we've been very hard on Brian, and people have been very hard on Brian. He's bland, you know, he's sort of fakish, you know, his Miami hometown was kind of weird, he didn't get along with her family, but he's a good-looking guy who speaks well and has a career, and, you know, it's like, he's well-proportioned, and yeah. He says the right things to her, so, like, I just don't get why Peter is the one that people think are more naturally. If you take every category, Brian beats him.
Yeah, just head-to-head. You know, if I were to give Brian some credit in this last episode, he is more consistent than I would have thought. And he's more consistent in the morning show appearances he makes now as well, in that he seems to stick to this positive, bubbly, you know, basically, they seem like a better couple now than, not that this is a high benchmark, but the Nick Vanessa. Right. Coupling afterward was so bad and so awkward that sort of became my standard for, like, well, if that's what the couple looks like after the show, that's kind of normal. But this, they actually seem like, you know, I don't know if they seem to me like, okay, like they're like a soulmate couple, or, but right. I would totally say, like, oh yeah, they're dating boyfriend, girlfriend. They seem comfortable with each other. So, Brian's doing that at least. And as you, all your other points are good too.
Well, you know, thinking of that, so Ben and Lauren just broke up in real life. He was.
Oh yeah, sad, isn't that?
They were supposed to be like a power couple, but
they did all of these ABC specials. We've gotten at work.
Well, they had their own show on Freeform, which used to be like, ABC Family.
Yeah, isn't it Ben and Lauren Happily Ever After?
Yeah,
and then they aired it, and then
they replaced that with the twins have their own show now. Twinning.
Okay.
Well, okay, so Ben and Lauren, you know, apparently, you know, if you read the tabloids, Lauren could never truly get over the fact that he had also told JoJo that he loved her, right? That's the narrative that's been presented to us.
Okay.
Which I can understand, you know, you know, you're on a reality show, it's weird anyway, it's untraditional, you move in together, and you watch the show sometime later, and yeah, the way the editors, they really focused on that, like, he loved JoJo as well. Mm-hmm. And his big line at the very end of the show was, you know, to JoJo was like, I fell in love with two people, but I fell in love with someone else more, or something like that. Now,
yeah.
I can understand Lauren's side of that. But the thing is, like, here, the editor, you know, she has said either, didn't she say I love you to Eric? Or, like, I'm falling in love with you? She has said, I am falling in love with you, or I love you, or some combination of that.
Yeah.
To all multiple three guys. People. And yet the editors are not dwelling on it at all. And I don't see Brian in the slightest saying, well, you told someone else you love you. I mean, I think a normal dude would just, hey, I won. Great. You know, let's move on. Like, I don't think you'd get hung up on it. Like,
well, don't forget Dean as well. She said
Dean.
That to Dean,
yeah,
and then
maybe it was
cut
Dean
him.
I was thinking of, yeah. So it's like, it shows you the power of editing. I guess maybe it's a gender thing too, but like, which is a shame if it is. But the, you know, I don't know. It just, I think that they're presenting things a lot differently. But anyway, I guess where I was going is going back to Nick and Vanessa. It's like, yeah, that really was the wrong pick. We've been over this. Other podcasts have been over this. It's like he really should have picked Raven, I think, is what most people would agree.
Who's coming to us live, or not live, but we're coming to you live on Bachelor in Masters, covering Raven in Bachelor in Paradise, yes, starting next week.
Yes, and she, I think, is going to be a big centerpiece of that season. I think
she certainly shows up a lot in the promo at the end.
Yeah, and it seems like her jaundice yellow face has kind of gone away. but, you know, I when you were talking about Vanessa and Nick, my mind connected that with Rachel and Brian. But now, just having talked it over a little bit, my brain has suddenly forgotten how I think they're connected. Like, okay. I just don't, maybe if she picked Peter, I would have said, yeah, she picked the wrong guy, because I just, like I said, he doesn't stack up to Brian.
Yeah, I agree with that. And their last dynamic is kind of ice. I think that's the thing. I don't know if this is what other people pick up on, but with Nick and Vanessa, the thing that I picked up on was, well, they kind of seem to hate each other, and they just barely started. Like, it's like they both just went through with this because that's what's expected, because they both ended up in this position, and that's what seemed kind of, you know, depending on your perspective, like funny or sad or whatever. And that's sort of the dynamic that seemed to be coming out with, imagine if she had picked Peter. I agree with you. It's like they had just fought they had a big difference. And you know that in that, whatever they call it, after the final rose segment of the show, they would still be, if they hadn't seen each other except for like once during the every weekend, they'd be fighting about that. It'd be icy.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, so, okay, so that. We're at a transitional point here where now we're having the rose ceremony.
Oh, yeah.
It's during the day, and Rachel, who's beautiful, she's even more beautiful without the big eyelashes, and when she wakes up in the morning, is wearing this real, I don't know, it's like they ran out of dresses, and they went into, like, the prop room and pulled this thing out. It's like this orange thing with, like, lizard arms. Are you looking at the same thing I am?
See it, yeah.
Now, meanwhile,
sometimes I don't see things until I see them through your eyes and you describe them, and I love that.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Look
there.
At those
like shrapnel
arms.
Or something.
Oh my goodness.
It's like armor. Well, so anyway, you got Eric, who was on what was he on this morning? He was on something. Maybe he was even KTLA. I don't know why he would be on KTLA, but and not Channel 7 ABC, but he was saying like he really truly did not think he was gonna get cut. So
yeah,
he comes out kind of cool looking. He's got his like V-neck T-shirt with a sports coat. That's a look I would probably have if I were on it. But
snazzy.
I really love Brian's outfit, which is like this sort of like I don't know what style that is, but it's got a low collar and it's gray with a black pinstripe. Down
he's looking
front.
Good. Yeah,
love it. Love it.
Fits
don't
well.
Like suits, but if you're gonna wear a suit, that's the suit to wear. But he's not wearing a tie either. Which is a good look. And then
it's a good
you've
look.
Got
okay, not
Peter,
a faux pas.
Peter, who looks like he's like.
He's at a
funeral.
Exactly. Well, Eric and all of us expected Peter to be axed because he basically broke up with. Because they both should have realized
it
last episode.
I didn't even think he would make it this far, so that's just so weird. The fact that she would cut Eric. Okay, so we said earlier we're going to give Eric some time. So let's get into Eric here.
Yeah.
After all, and I think this is less Rachel and more the show. After all we've been through with Eric and the journey we've been on, he's grown a lot. He's been on his meds. He's been off his meds. He's become better dressed throughout. He had this hometown. It's like, it seems like a very quick send off. Like, all right, that's it. Like,
yeah.
There's no like, I mean, I know that, don't they sit down and they kind of talk it out? And he says, I'll always love you. And she says, you know, I know he's a great person by the way he said goodbye or something like that, right?
Yeah.
But
they give him that. And she says, I swear I love you. I'm just not in love with you.
She says that.
She says that.
Yeah. Which is fine. That's a good way to say it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like it just seems so not sincere the way the show sort of just let him go.
I totally agree, because actually this rose ceremony is coming later in the show than I thought it did. So my kind of emotional memory of it was it felt like he was just unceremoniously tossed aside so they could get to spending all of their time on the Peter drama, basically. And then, oh, yeah, by the way, she gets engaged to Brian.
Yeah. Well, she's putting the rose on Peter, which is Eric's death knell. He knows he's off the show. And he holds it together great. He does that thing we talked about last week where, you know, if you get kicked off the show, the best thing you can do is just keep it together. Don't say anything bad about The Bachelorette. Survive the black Cadillac SUV home without giving in to the demands of the producer who's badgering you to say something. And just play it cool. But, like, usually there's a lot more, like, crying and confessionals at this point. I mean, this is third place. Usually there's, like, a lot of, like, I don't know. It just
maybe the dynamic on set was that he didn't feel like he, you know, I know he says that he felt confident he was going to get a rose, but maybe the dynamic was like he knew she wasn't digging him.
Right.
I don't know, because I agree. He's so composed. Maybe that's it.
Maybe it's him. Maybe he's too composed.
He doesn't seem shocked at all. He goes straight to the, like, you know, well, thank you for this incredible journey kind of, you know. I don't know. But I don't feel he's ever gotten really a fair shake.
Well, if everyone on the show was like Eric, like if every season we got 30 Erics on both female and male, you know, it'd be a lot different of a show. It'd be a show about what it means to date, because every time you date someone new, you learn and you grow. That's what dating is all about, right? Like,
yeah,
so like he freely admits that, unlike most or all other contestants. Like, here's what I learned, here's what you meant to me, here's what I'll take away. I mean, those are like I think most people think about when they break up with somebody, or at least stop dating somebody, right? It's like,
right,
okay, you know, whatever, it didn't work out, let's move on. So, like, imagine if everyone was about that. Imagine if you didn't have the Wahbooms, and you didn't have the people who were just trying to become reality stars, and you didn't have the freaks, you know, who, like, General Lee, who just, like, you know, and then you don't have, like, it'd be really neat if you only had Erics and Bryans. How about that?
And Rachel. It'd be interesting. Well, Eric and has Raven. Always, to me, seemed
gotta have the virgin like in there.
All of the people that we like and find interesting.
Yeah, right. How about if this show was only people that we like? Then we'd have a show.
But Eric just seems like a genuine person. And I know that, you know, sort of the representation of that is not the same thing as, I don't know if that's how he really is, but I like how he comes off on the show. He just seems like, yeah, people are in my life most closely represent Eric, where they are multifaceted, where it's like, yeah, they could be angry one week, like screaming at someone, and then like totally cool the next. They could have these insecurities, but also seem, you know, like completely at home. They've got like things to be proud of. I just like that we got a glimpse of like a person as much as that's possible through him. And so a lot of the other times, even for people I like, it's sort of like you do feel the show straining to like paint the caricature that they want of this person, of, you know, like Peter, the guy with who swears he's got some black friends that he's going to parade out,
right?
You know, but he's also going to the farmer's market, and right. You know, I don't really feel like I know who Peter is other than like what he says on the show.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, this is the moment when everyone in America looked at their clock and realized they still had like two like, hours and 15 minutes to go.
It's sort of like what I think, what my experience is watching the Lord of the Rings movies, where no matter how much you like them, if you look at the clock about halfway through, you realize, God, I have to sit through another hour and a half of this.
Yeah.
Sorry to all the Bachelor Nation that also loves Lord of the Rings, but that's my analogy.
It's funny you mention that, because the the Jeopardy is having their teen tournament this week, and the final Jeopardy answer was question was Lord of the Flies.
Oh,
and I got it. I blurted it out.
Nice. But we're back with Chris Harrison here, right?
Yeah, we're back at CBS Studios in the Fairfax District of the Mid-City Los Angeles. We haven't really talked about the fact that they rolled out Rachel to toe the party line from the get-go. I don't really think it changes much. I think it's kind of interesting that she's kind of giving this sort of mild commentary on what's happening.
Yeah. Chris Harrison makes it seem like it's going to be this revolutionary thing to watch the show with the Bachelorette present. But all of her reaction shots are pretty much, she looks kind of sad here. She looks kind of worried here. She agrees with everything he says. So
I don't know if they're doing it here. I suspect they're not. But I've been to tapings. You know, I went to a taping of America's Got Talent. It was actually the first set of shows when Howard Stern was on. It was awesome. And they recorded all of the audience reactions before the show.
Oh, that's
so they're
wild.
Like, all right, everyone act surprise. All right, everyone act, you know, everyone boo, everyone cheer. And they recorded all these with all these sweeping cameras and stuff. And
yeah.
Then they started the show.
That's kind of awesome.
And how I know they're not maybe doing that here is, number one, it's live, quote unquote live, whatever that means. But like, at the beginning when they said that Juan Pablo was getting married, the audience was like, whatever. I thought that was great.
You're like, if they were going to drum that up, they would have had some canned shots too.
Yeah, exactly.
To make people sense.
Yeah, but of course, Juan Pablo is the most hated bachelor in Bachelor history.
Is he the soccer player that you're talking
about?
Yeah,
exactly.
Right. Interesting.
Total scumbag. So who did he knock up that he's getting married, you know? I think it's the consensus opinion. who had dirt on him enough that he's getting married? So here comes Eric. They're bringing Eric out.
Yep.
And they do their little, you know, why did you do this? Why did you do that?
Yeah.
I get really bored during these kind of things. I mean, it's like, I don't know. I just feel like it's like, I don't know. What do you think of these things? You're kind of newer to The Bachelor.
Yeah. This is my third finale that I've made it to. And that's one thing I was going to say before when you were talking about the quality of the episode. I don't know what the consensus view is on this, but in every case, kind of ironically, I've always thought the last episode is the least interesting. So maybe my expectations just personally were such that I had them lowered, and so I was kind of willing to go along with it a little bit more. But there is something, it's like, yeah, by the time they're doing this kind of live commentary, it's not as like juicy as the like men or women tell all, you know, kind of fun, even if it's bad.
Right.
It's not, there's not really many, there's no real interpersonal dynamics amongst the contestants by the time you're this far, because they're just, it's about the relationship with the main person. And you know, the answer to the question of the season is like one of two people usually. So, you know, it's like something that, you know, I feel like you got to kind of, you want closure on the season. So you get that. But beside that, I find that the stuff drags on a lot, especially like with Eric, he still comes off really well here, I think, but that's not necessarily like great TV, right? It's like, they're just getting along. They're having like softballs back and forth.
It's like watching an episode of Charlie Rose.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the background's darkened. And,
you just got to get, that's right.
You know, they only have like a single point light, you know. And
unnaturally long pauses where.
Did you notice his brooch that he's wearing? This popped out to me last night. He's wearing a black something on his lapel.
I see that. Yeah.
He's essentially wearing a black jacket. It's kind of like checkered, so it's not exactly black, maybe
right,
blue
dark colors.
I couldn't quite figure that out. Is it
I don't know. It looks like it's a bow on a ribbon or on a present.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. It looks like one of those things you put on top of a present. You know, when you wrap a present, you put the bow around it, and you put that thing on top.
Yeah.
Like the little sticky thing. That's what it looks like, except it's pure black.
I've never seen that before. I don't know what that is, and I don't know what motivated that.
Well, speaking of Howard Stern, he was funny. He used to go on Dave Letterman a lot because they're buddies. And, it would, quadruple Dave Letterman's ratings, you know, like that for that segment or night or whatever. But, you know, leading up to the show, he would, if you listen to his radio show in the mornings, this is when he was still on terrestrial radio. He would enlist people to call in and give him money, to say, a word or a phrase on the Dave Letterman show that, say penis or say toaster oven, you know, just random stuff. And then he'd get people calling, I'll give you $100 if you say, some phrase or something like that. And then, so you'd watch Dave Letterman, and if you didn't listen to his radio show, you would have no idea what was going on. But if you listen to the show, it was kind of like this insider thing, right? It's like, oh, he said that, right?
Yeah.
So I wonder if, you know, maybe there's something going on there. Maybe it means something to his company or his hometown or something like that that we just don't know about. Maybe it's just some symbol of something.
Or, it always comes back, I think, to the Illuminati, and it could be he was inducted. This is the signal. And he's using code words during, usually you have to be very careful whenever you're watching what looks like an inane exchange or something like that.
Right,
really.
Right.
There's lots of coded visuals and
he's a
language.
Stone cutter.
Yeah. Exactly. So I think that it could be saying that, everything worked out for him, even though he didn't get engaged to her. He's covering up one eye and the triangles are coming up and he's going to make it off Earth when everything goes wrong. He's got his place on the spaceship. So good for you, Eric. You got the brooch on. We read you loud and clear, man.
What was that movie that was like a straight up no plot action movie, but it was like there were these three boats that were in the mountains and then only like a certain number of humans in the world had a pass to get on it when the cataclysm hit?
I don't know what this movie is. No.
It was like it's like a global flood hit, like some earthquake that ripped open the earth, and only like the rich and famous and smart and powerful had tickets to get on these three giant boats that had been secretly constructed.
Oh, this
by
does
the
sound
New World
kind of
Order.
Familiar.
Yeah, and then, the whole movie is basically like surviving that transition, and then like whoever the lead family is, how they make it onto the boat, even though they don't have a ticket, maybe. Do you envision Eric being somebody that has a ticket?
Well, it's exactly that kind of thing. See, if I were ever given the opportunity to spin off and do all the derivatives of a spinoff of these podcasts or YouTube things, I love any conspiracy or unsolved mystery kind of thing. So I'm big into.
Interesting. I think I knew this. We were talking about this recently.
Oh, I love it. And what I would tie in with Eric is the Denver International Airport.
Yeah, I was just going to mention it. I think that's as far as I'm not really into like the super hardcore like conspiracy theories. Like I know like everything there is to know about Area 51 in Nevada and how it was just Lockheed's test facility for its spy planes. I mean, that's all it was. It wasn't like and that was super top secret, which is why it's so alluring. But and at the same token, like Denver International Airport having a secret
underground
place for the it's not actually a military base is the thinking. It's actually a New World Order. Like if there's a global calamity, like the Queen of England and Bill Gates, they would go there.
Exactly. You do know quite a bit.
Well, the painting. If anyone listening ever have you been to the check-in? Tent.
I've looked at these things online, but I've not been there myself. So I know, are you talking about these disturbing murals? And
yeah, the murals are great. There's this one of the Nazi gas mask guy.
Exactly.
The artwork's
like
beautiful.
Dead children, or dead sort of indigenous people.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be this inspirational mural. But there's also this sculpture of this bull out front. Do you know that? And the original sculptor, I think, was killed because the head of the bull fell on him and killed him. Right. And they had to get someone else to finish that sculpture. Right. But it looks totally demonic. It's like everything seems like it went wrong. So I think that also causes people to have interest. But yeah, as you said, like the queen has bought land around. A lot of people, powerful people, own land around that area.
Yeah. Yeah, and the actual canvas of the whole that whole facility is like, it's made of a material that reflects radar. I mean, there's just all these things about that. I would love to do a podcast about that. Like, we could do a series. But I don't know if I would go, like, I would be interested in it if it wasn't like too far down the non-scientific, like not coast to coast AM.
Well, I'm with you on my interest is, so some of my interest in the more fringe stories are, I just want to, because the our listening public does not know me as well as you do, Craig, maybe. I'm not someone who legitimately subscribes to any kind of theory. I'm fascinated by all of them, but I think you and I think similarly that I like, you know, it's sort of, I like to poke holes in these things as much as I like to find ones that are interesting and that they could seem plausible. But yeah, a lot of these have no traction because there's some big fallacy that I think people who really want to subscribe to these things have to fall into. And that can be fun to kind of look into these stories. And yeah, things like Coast to Coast AM or, you know, even a lot of these kinds of podcasts or sort of the corners of the internet that get into these things, a lot of them will be like true crime and unsolved mysteries. So like Unsolved Mysteries also, sometimes those shows, when they get too far into exploitation or too goofy, I'm just not interested. But there's enough out there that is interesting that I love exploring.
Well, we are in the golden era of true crime. I mean, we got the Menendez brothers coming out. I've started watching the Unabomber one on Discovery. There's, what's her name? Scott Peterson. He murdered his wife, right?
Mm-hmm.
We just had the OJ. I mean, they're all coming out now, right?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, there are so many. I don't know if anyone's seen The Jinx on HBO, but that one's also fantastic.
No, haven't seen that one. Is it on Hulu?
You know, there is an HBO subscription through Hulu now. So if you get an add-on for slightly less than it would cost you to get HBO on its own, you can have The Jinx on your Hulu account.
Well, I should send you a book because just one more comment. The whole thing at Roswell, New Mexico, right? The flying saucer that supposedly crashed there.
Yeah.
Actually, there's this book I read where the journalist, she pitched, she subscribes to the theory that it actually happened, but because so Stalin and the Soviets, right, when everyone went into Berlin, right, you know, the Americans took rocket scientists, nuclear scientists, and the Soviets got their people. And part of the people that the Soviets took from Berlin were people working on saucers. Like flying saucers. And the reason they were working on it is because flying Vs, like triangles, like the stealth bomber, the B-2 is a triangle, are really, you know, have ultra low radar, you know, images, like, you know, they're indetectable and like saucers and stuff like that. So they had the saucer experts. So the working theory that this journalist has is that Stalin actually constructed a saucer in Mexico and flew it in through New Mexico, built in Mexico and flew it in through New Mexico in order to cause like a big international incident because, you know, he felt like America was on edge post-war in order to like, you know, it could throw, cause you know, the whole anti-communist thing, it could really like disrupt America, but it didn't really work out cause the flying saucer crashed in Roswell. Right. So,
yeah. Well, that seems plausible to me, and a lot of, you know, alien or extraterrestrial theories that get traction, usually all you have to do is look into, like, military activity in the area at the time. There's a great – do you know the Dyatlov Pass mystery by any chance, Craig, that takes place in the Soviet Union? I want to say in the 1910s, 1920s?
No. Is this the meteor that blew up?
It might be one and the same. It's about these young hikers who went on this long hike, and their bodies were, this was in the era before, obviously, phones and kind of instant communication. So they went out on this lengthy hike, and when they hadn't returned for like 2 weeks, a rescue party went out to find them and found their bodies like mangled in very odd, mysterious ways. Their tent had been cut from the inside, and they had all run out of their tent. They'd been found like their tongues removed. Their bodies looked fine on the outside, but one of them had like blunt, like the trauma of like a truck hitting them at 50 miles an hour.
Oh my God.
And they supposedly have like a radioactive glow on their skin, so people thought this was an alien thing. But there's also more plausible theories are some of the Soviet like military testing, missile testing that might have been happening, or maybe not missile. You know, sometimes my historical anachronisms are bad, but you know, something that was happening at the time. So, anyways, the your Roswell comment made me think of Dyatlov Pass also.
I'll have to look that up. Okay, I think we have enough for a podcast. Let's before we schedule another 2 hours out of our week, where we can't do other things and be with our families and all that kind of stuff like that. Let's try to get our Bachelor in Paradise.
Absolutely, priorities. Yeah.
But those sort of like anthology podcasts, they can happen whenever. You know, you can almost like publish, record five of them and just publish them all at the same time. They don't have to be weekly.
Yeah.
Like this one. Okay, so back to the Hulu broadcast of the final episode of The Bachelor. So nothing.
I'm watching. Brian's
nothing like says I really want to figure this guy out like a hot air balloon. So they go on a hot air balloon, which is another like this doesn't happen on real dates thing, and another example of you're so romantic even though you had nothing to do with setting up the hot air balloon. It's like, oh my God, you knew me so well, you knew I wanted to be on a hot air balloon. It's like, well, actually I chose from a menu of expensive TV produced things that we could do, and this one seemed like the most interesting. So it wasn't actually a very good date. Like, Rachel's sort of very standoffish.
Yeah.
And we've all been on that date, I think, where the girl or the guy is just acting just not there.
Yeah.
And maybe I think I went on a rant or like a tangent a few episodes ago where I was talking about how guys and girls are different in the way they break up. So, like, guys will string it along because they don't actually want to break up. And I cited Daniel Tosh as sort of backing that up in his stand-up. Like, guys just kind of, like, drag it out. Whereas a girl can, like, wake up one day and that's it. Like, they just wake up and decide it's over and that's it. But I think a girl's sort of version of stretching it out is that sort of, like, tuned out, distracted way of acting. And she was acting like that. It's like there's no other way to see it that she was kind of given that, like, uncomfortable, I woke up this morning really thinking different of you way of acting. And he was right to call her out. I thought that was a real straight up, like, mature thing to do. It was like, I think you're acting distracted and tuned out.
Yeah, I thought that was smart, too.
But she handled it well, too. She's like, oh, really? You know, I'm really sorry I was acting that way. I didn't mean to. Like, I actually believed her that maybe she really just had a lot on her mind. And
well, doesn't she say, I don't think to Brian, but in her cutaway interviews, that Peter is what made her think differently because she was ready to break up with him. But then she once again thought that she had something with him. And so she was distant because she was thinking about, like, Peter during this date.
Having sex with somebody will do that to you.
So who's the person she didn't have sex with? Was it Eric? Remember, she made that comment?
Oh, she said she didn't have sex with somebody. Right.
But they staged all of them. Like, they all wake up with shirts off and, like, hopping out of bed.
Yeah,
so.
I can't even speculate. I guess maybe Peter? Because Eric, he was acting like a school kid afterwards. It's like, okay, he got laid.
Yeah, they made
and
him act
Brian,
like Raven.
Yeah, exactly. And then Brian, like, of course she's going to have sex with him. They've been at each other's.
Exactly. It seems like they've almost done it already.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, maybe it's Peter because they had this fight. And maybe they really did just spend more time together like Peter wanted.
Possibly. Yeah. Well, here he is, hopping out
well,
of
here he
van.
Is. And he's wearing another, like, you know, Macy's Target special. He's wearing this like thin. I mean, again, it's not a shirt. I mean, it's a shirt I'd probably wear, but not.
Not on reality.
Not as the final. I mean, he fits him well. He's got a good body. No doubt about that. But I don't know if you noticed, but like, it was like there's hanger marks. Did you notice that?
On his shirt.
Like he was hanging his shirt up to dry over a chair or something, and there's stretched out little dimples on the front of his shirt. Huh. I don't know if you noticed that. Take a look, like right where his like pecs are. You'll see like a few like bumps.
Yeah, I think
that only exists when you hang your shirt over a chair when it's still damp or something.
Well, you know, that's his Midwestern charm. That's how he can play it off. Is you know,
well, air drying is good. You know, it's like saves energy and. Especially in Europe, where they actually know how to conserve resources. You know, maybe they don't have a dryer. You know, there were windmills in the background, which I credited the, you know, the wineries for having.
Right. We are here in La Rioja, Spain.
Yeah,
right?
Another church date. She likes these church dates. I mean, like, I wouldn't mind going to these, but not on, like, the date that's going to, like, decide the fate of your future.
Yeah, this is that scene where they have the priest kind of talk to them.
Oh, right.
In this. Yeah,
who's that SNL guy? What was his name? There was an SNL guy back in like the 80s. Father or something, Verducci or something. And he had the Italian, the Spanish monk accent, and he was a comedian. No?
I know SNL so poorly, so I'm not. That could be the most famous thing. I just don't know any of these. So,
well, there's not a moment where he's not the smiling.
Yeah, he is.
He's
very,
the most the happy
he's like
monk.
Obviously the most camera ready priest monk to go out. He's like, he is going to be a great ambassador. He's going to be very friendly. Yeah.
Well, I like watching these overproduced historical dramas like. The Tudors and the Borgias and stuff.
And oh yeah.
The newest one I'm watching is kind of, I don't know if they're by the same producers, but the third one in my sequence is the Versailles one about the French.
I don't know that one.
Yeah, it's kind of newer. It's following around King Louis the, I guess the 14th, the guy who like literally built Versailles.
Okay.
And all the sex and political intrigue that goes along with it. Nothing is better than the Tudors, though. I don't know if you ever watched that, but the Tudors
I've seen a little
amazing.
Bit. That's the one with Jonathan Rhys-Meyer and, yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
Right, I think.
But you know the way they, you know, Anne Boleyn, and I mean it's just brilliant. And he sleeps with everyone. It's like you can't have an episode of the Tudors without him having sex with somebody he's, you know, not married to. But the irony is thick. But this the monk, you know, I can't not think of the Borgias because there's a lot of monks in the Borgias, and they're all like these really over the top like God and fire and brimstone types. And then you got this guy coming out and you know, welcome to my monastery, and you guys are all in love, and I will offer you all the couples counseling you want, and you will do good. And then he goes on about like how it. If you fight, you know, it's nothing. It's a nothing. You know, the people, the things that people break up about is nothing. You just forget about the nothing.
Yeah, I'm watching.
And then
the
he just like, arm out.
Saying this, and you're getting it almost exactly right.
Some director in the corner is like, all right, time. He's like, okay, I'm out of here. Bye.
Thank you so much.
I'll be here all the week. Oh,
yeah.
My gosh. Where'd they find that guy?
This date, I know I touched on it before, but it just makes me laugh because it feels like so. It's another one of these things that's so unnatural. Like anyone would be having a date in Spain, going to a church, and then get impromptu couples counseling from a priest
right.
that comes out from SNL priest. But you know, hey, it's kind of charming.
SNL priest.
I do like. I don't know what you've because you know. I know this isn't really a travel show. I know it's. Touching on these things, you know, pretty in a pretty superficial way, but I do like watching The Bachelor and Bachelorette for all the places that they go, even if it's just to kind of see in these, like
right. yeah, like
the,
Norway.
Yeah, it's kind of awesome, and this Spain looks great in this episode.
Yeah, you know, I've only been to Barcelona. I've never been in the countryside. It looks nice.
Yeah, I've never been at all. But yeah,
is where like alcohol was invented? Like they left the water out, and I don't know. I'm just, you know, many thousands of years ago, we left the water outside, and we drank it, got the drunk, and that's why we're so happy.
Probably that priest is also like 105 years old. It's probably one of these places where they just live forever, and
right,
they just drink wine, eat fish, and live forever. You know?
Oh boy. Do you think they have the internet here? They must, right? They must have the internet. How else would they have been contacted to be on the show?
No, they don't have these modern things that is killing, you know, most of the Western world. They're
I mean, who makes designer eyeglasses? Like Ralph Lauren or something? He was wearing like very nice.
He looked good. Yeah, he looked fashionable. So
if you can have those, you can have the internet.
He's got the internet. This church has Wi-Fi all up and down it. You know that they're all tweeting about the show right now. We see this and it looks all empty and nice, but there's like a crowd of hundreds of people right behind where the cameras are.
So everyone follow at Father Varducci 29.
Exactly. Talk to the Twitter will point you to the counseling bot where you can fix all of your relationships with some of his sage wisdom.
It doesn't matter. Whatever you break up about doesn't matter.
What did you think of the trip that's bestowed upon Rachel and Brian to go back to La Rioja, Spain?
Sure.
I thought that was kind of, that would be more fun to do off the show. For me, at least, it's like, I'd love that if it's not a televised thing.
Yeah, you can actually go and do it like the right way.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, at some point, we're going to have to get to the actual proposal part of the show. We've had the balloon date with Brian. We've had the monastery date with Peter. I think we're, well, where are we at in the...
stringing along this breakup for a long time. You know it's coming. Yeah, we're getting close. We read about...
Oh, that's right, because she breaks up with Peter. So, okay, so if you're listening to this podcast, you already know what I'm going to say. You already know how this works. But, you know, they keep every... You know, we don't know who they're going to break up with. So, like, Chris Soules, the Iowa dude, you know, did they helicopter him in? They limoed both people in. And what usually happens is the first girl comes in. That's the person who's going to get cut, the first girl or guy. And the producers make that girl or guy, you know, do this whole speech about how much they love the person. And then, well, I appreciate you saying that, you're cut. Right? That's how it usually goes. And then they roll the next limo in, and then the music starts playing, and that's the person who they're going to get engaged with. So it was a big twist that she breaks up with them, like, you know, now.
Right.
And so we already know who's going to be there. I think...
That's what I thought was interesting. I guess that's what I was sort of clumsily trying to say before, that I thought, oh, well, the suspense didn't really come down to who she's going to pick, because she... And it's kind of an ambiguous breakup. I like that. This seemed more like a breakup that would happen in real life, too, where, you know, it's not always so cut and dry. I didn't really know what we were supposed to read into it until they solidified it in the commentary with Chris Harrison, where they're like,
Harrison was going on about, like, how you never said goodbye or whatever, right?
Yeah.
He kept saying that. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's like, it get to this point where it's like, I'm half asleep anyway at this point.
This episode is long. Can you agree with that, Craig?
It's very long. It's very long. Well, okay. So let's start talking about the actual engagement here.
Yeah. Mr. Brian.
So there's a lot to say. Let's first of all, why why couldn't they take it inside? Like, you know how the industry works here. Like, what was keeping them from taking that podium with the rose on it and moving it inside?
Because yeah.
The wind, I mean, there were so many things wrong with that scene.
Yeah, like as a production environment.
I mean, of all of the scenes that they've shot, of all this entire season, of every season, why would they let that particular scene through?
Is this something that the Twittersphere was commenting on?
Well, the Rose Pricks podcast, Ronnie Karam was going on about how God was really trying to keep Rachel from being engaged to Brian.
So yeah.
For instance, like, I don't know if you caught it, but the door, there was a, I guess in Spain, you know, don't disturb or like, don't clean the room, like that thing you put on the door.
Yeah.
You know, do not disturb. In Spanish, it's don't molest. It's like,
oh yeah.
I don't know how to speak Spanish, so it's like I don't know. But it was said like don't molest or something like that. That's what it said in Spanish. And he was going on about how that was a sign from God, and then how the wind, it's like what more could God do short of like a tornado or a hurricane? Like to like give Rachel a sign that she shouldn't be with him. I mean, that wind was just awful. And then like this, I mean, you never see sound that bad on like a network broadcast.
Yeah,
on any production in the 21st century, you would never have sound that bad.
I know. Not even public access, live on location in Spain, would have production that
bad. Not even our podcast, which, I've gone through the worst microphones that have ever been made, is that bad.
We would throw a windsock on it, at least, or something, you know, on our.
Well, I think it was just that bad. I mean, I imagine they had all the socks. You know, imagine they had lavalier mics and everything, and just like, why couldn't they just move 5 feet inside? I just don't get it.
I'm not sure. Maybe there was a producer, someone who thought being outside added to like the romantic sweep of the moment or something.
You know, I'm sure they set it all up, and that was supposed to, and I'm sure there was even like whoever was sponsoring it, like whatever Spain Tourism Bureau or something. I'm sure that they wanted it outside, but that did not show Spain in very good light.
No,
but I think if I think Brian and her were on Good Morning America or something, I think he said something like they pushed back because it was like what they were trying to like push it back because of the weather.
I heard that too. Point,
okay, so I'm not making.
Yeah, that. But he said he thought that was like a euphemism for Peter's being cut.
Right. Right.
But it turned
speaking
out,
of Peter,
I think it was.
We're back to Peter, and they're on the couch again, and this is where she's breaking up with him. Now, okay, we got to circle back to this, because this really completes the narrative here.
Yeah.
Which is, so going back to our very beginning of our podcast, she really turns on him in a really weird way. So she's like, look, just say you're going to give me the ring. It's not a big deal. Right? And he's like, no, no. And then she's like, come on, really? And he's like, okay, you know what? I'll do it. I know I'm trying to throw moral superiority at you. I really don't want to be here, but whatever. I'll propose to you. It's fine. I'll be the better. That's not exactly what he says. He doesn't say I'll be the better person. He says, what does he say? I'll make that sacrifice or something, right?
That's yeah, he uses a word like, yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, he says that what I believe is that I shouldn't do this, but I want to show you that this is how much you mean to me, that I'll go against what I believe.
Right. So he gives in, and then she goes, well, if you do that, you're just doing it because I told you to, and it doesn't mean anything. And so, like, that's that whole thing I was trying to say. It's like, she knew this. There's no way he was going to make it through this night. Like, she had already decided she didn't want to be with him. That's, I believe, why my theory in my head makes sense.
Okay, like, yeah, I can see that.
If if she wanted him through, really, she would have let him through.
Well, she throws the impossible to prove thing that it's like, I don't want you to want it because I want it. I want you to want it because you want it.
Yeah,
and exactly. I won't believe you if you choose that tomorrow because it's not a believable amount of time for someone to make that switch. Well, yeah, then it's obvious there's nothing you can say in that situation. It's you've exhausted all possibilities.
And just when you want to believe that Peter, maybe we've read Peter wrong, maybe he's not this guy that we don't like. He says something really stupid.
I know
what he's
going to say.
He's like, well, fine, then go with the guy who's mediocre and have a mediocre life. Yes. Like, what the fuck, dude?
That's the big comment. And that's the one thing I think he does apologize for when he's live on the show, that he kind of apologizes for that. But that's, I mean, that's, that would be.
I was asleep at that point.
Exactly. That's tone deaf in real life, but especially on a reality show. It's like, you do not say that.
Right. And the editors could have just cut that out, but they didn't. Because that's what they do on the show.
Because they knew that that would be a big line. Exactly.
Ay, he
says you're going to have a mediocre life with this other guy, whereas with him, you know.
I mean, it's not like he's wrong. I mean, he's just stating the obvious.
Yeah,
but,
well,
you know, it's not that mediocre to live in Miami Beach and, like, you know, date a guy who's independently wealthy and...
That's a good point. Globally,
I mean, how mediocre?
That's
can it
quite
be?
A exceptional life. Globally,
to me, mediocre is living in Wisconsin. Sorry. Once again, let me give. I lived in Iowa for 8 years. I have nothing against it, but mediocre is kind of coming off a show like The Bachelor and living in Wisconsin, and painting and drinking wine on a Friday night. I'm sorry. I have to say it. It's not Miami Beach. I'm really sorry to our listeners in Wisconsin. I'm so mean to Nebraska, Wisconsin,
to the Midwest.
I love Wisconsin. The Dells, Madison, they're all. It's great. It's a great place. But
see,
you know,
as usual, I'm just too ignorant to really have any opinion on the matter. So I get off scot free in terms of these things.
But
yeah,
it's not, you know, it's not LA. It's not Miami. It's not New York. All right. So that's what I meant to say. But, you know, it is kind of a mediocre, you know, it's kind of the middle of the road. It's like, you know, you work, watch the Packers, you know,
you
party in the summer.
Your commentary on the Wisconsin house we saw before, I liked, which it was, that was the best. You sort of had these metaphors with, like, the couch, where it's like, well, you know, that couch stands in for a lot of what life in Wisconsin can mean. It's like, well, it's not necessarily money or the desire for, like, the certain upkeep. It's like, you buy this stuff, you die in this stuff. That's kind of like your life.
It is.
Yeah.
And, you know, you dig in for the winter. It's a long winter.
Yeah.
So, like, come on, buddy. Like, you kind of showed your colors there. Because it's based on nothing. I mean, yes, Brian's mediocre personality. He's kind of bland. He kind of doesn't seem like a very spontaneous guy, but come on, dude. The guy's good looking, and he's got a career, and he lives in Miami, and he's rich. So,
plus, you know, if you're resorting to having to say something like that, I know that's an emotional thing to say in the moment, so you're probably not thinking logically, but that's coming from a place of insecurity. If you can look at it from a more logical point of view, what do you really know about anyone, you know, on this show? You don't really know what anyone's qualities or anything like that. You're just feeling insecure and, like, grasping at straws at that point.
Now, is this a kiss goodbye? Did they already know that?
Yeah, this
final
moment.
She just says, I love you too.
Yeah, he says.
She just said, I love you too.
He says, I love you, Rachel. She says, I love you too. And they subtitle it in the show so that you can't miss
show.
It. But
how is this any different than Ben saying that to JoJo and leading to the eventual breakup of Ben and Lauren? How is this any different?
I don't know. Oh, he says, take a chance. It's not going to change your mind. You're just going to feel pressure to do it, says Rachel. So again, that's her, you know, not giving him no option. Well, she's kind of decided, it seems like, at this point, as to your point there.
Am I right, though? Does his head not look like it's not comfortably propped up by the rest of his body?
I guess not. I hadn't thought of it that, but yeah.
And dude, it's called a tailor, and tailors can adjust the length of your pants so that they fall naturally against your shoes and don't bunch up.
Craig, you need just a. Oh, he takes off that overshirt.
He's got the white Oh, look, it's a pocket t-shirt. He must have got that in the same package as the gray one. You know how they'll come with like three, and there'll be one gray, one white, and one black?
I see the pocket. Yeah.
What's wrong with me, he says. Well, I can come up with a few things, but I think we can close the book on Peter.
Yeah.
What do you think, Chris?
I think so, too. I think the last thing to say is about his appearance live on the show. For me, the one interesting thing he has to say is that he says he feels attacked at one point. And I thought that that was interesting, because I think he realized that he wasn't going to sort of win that battle as much as you can on a live show of reality television hit. But the fact that he even said, I was sort of reading that dynamic, that he was feeling that before he said that, but I thought it was interesting that he said he was feeling attacked, and Rachel deflects very quickly and pretty well, I think. But yeah.
Doesn't he say something like, I had to live with your eyelashes on the floor for 2 days?
Yeah, he says.
I swear he says that.
He says that he didn't pick them. No one picked them up, and he wasn't going to. So it was a reminder.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't pick them up either. That's kind of something about that creeps me out. Not too many things kind of give me the heebie-jeebies, but like fake eyelashes on the floor just seem kind of like, I don't know. Do you get creeped out by that at all?
You're making me think about it more now. That is a great image for something.
There's this
image.
Like pseudo-science thing about like there's only a certain segment of the population are weirded out by circles that are in a random pattern. Do you know about this?
No.
It's not considered an actual psychological thing, but it pretty much is supported by like anecdotal evidence. But like if I look at there's certain plants that when they create seeds, they create these pods that have circles on them that are all like distributed randomly. They're not in a pattern, right?
Mm-hmm.
The circles are distributed, and I get freaked out by it. And if you Google that, like fear of circles and fear of random circles,
yeah,
it's like a total thing.
Huh.
And there's all these like super creepy images that if I pull up on Google Images, I just run out of the room.
Well, this is my Wednesday now. You have helped me.
Yeah, you're going to be doing it. And for some people, like, they just, it's no big deal at all.
Yeah.
It's like, but they think it's, it's like, it's one of those things. It's like, no one teaches you to be afraid of snakes. You just are.
Right.
So it's one of those things. Because, circles that are in random patterns, can, if it's on your skin, it can be like, there's just cause to be freaked out by that because it's associated with, infections and things like that.
Right.
Just like snakes.
Well,
but, whatever.
Well, I wonder,
maybe
is that because is it like the brain wants to find a pattern and make sense of it? And
could be that. Yeah, it could be anything.
But people
can't
figure it out.
And I don't really know why it's not considered legit science. I don't know why there hasn't been studies that have kind of connected those dots. But anyway, there's just like little things like that. Like I don't like slimy hands.
No.
If someone is like, hey, put your hand in this, remember when we were kids, there was the slime?
Yeah,
I remember slime?
It's like, your hand in the slimy grapes at Halloween, and it's like, it's eyeballs!
Yeah, I'll just not. And I'm not, I don't think I'm the type of guy that makes a big stink of it, like, oh, I don't like that. I just kind of, I just avoid it. But, I don't know, someone's spent fake eyebrows on the ground? That doesn't, like,
no, it seems that is scary. You are right. I would say that's
it's not like
creepy.
Scary though.
The more I think about it, I do get that that kind of feeling of it's a good image. It's I can't explain why I think it falls into this category, but it is almost like an uncanny valley kind of thing where it's something that's like human like, but fake eyelashes are kind of fake enough that, and it's
right.
The absence of a person too. It's like something. Yeah. Like the way androids are scary. It's like an eyelash, fake eyelash
put
in the ground. Yeah.
Well, especially in LA where we don't have nature, I think people say that, but it's like the honest to God truth. Like seeing a squirrel is like a big deal, right? And And, you know, seeing a scrub jay family bird of birds on the wires, you know, is like a big deal. It's like, you're right. It's like having this sort of like, or somewhat organic thing laying on the ground in, you know, a giant cement city. Maybe that adds to it.
Yeah, I think so. Hey, Craig, quick tangent on creepy things.
Yeah, that's what we do here at Bachelor Masters.
Do you, and I hope you haven't heard of this yet, because it's one of my favorite things to ask people. But do you remember maybe when you were a kid or younger, or maybe now that you've got a child yourself, you might have had some more recent exposure to this. But you know that book about that family of bears that lives together?
Oh, I know what you're going to say. It's not, there's no, it's never been called the Berenstain Bears.
Oh, my goodness.
It's only the Beren.
The Berenstain Bears.
It's the Berenstain Bears, but everyone thinks it's the Berenstain Bears.
Everyone remembers it.
Even though it's never once been written like that.
Exactly, because it's named after, I think it's co-authors. It was like a
I only came
husband.
Upon that whole phenomenon on Reddit, like, recently. So you're only maybe a few months behind me discovering that myself.
Were you unimpressed, or did you also think it was
well,
did you remember
they connected
it as Berenstain?
It to, they connect, I can't exactly think, but there's like this whole, it was connected to this whole like notion of like collective, like
right.
a collect, so, you know, like this phenomenon where an entire society can get something wrong.
Right.
And I think there were all these examples of other things that I can't remember.
Because I think they call it the Mandela effect because of something starting with Nelson, people thinking Nelson Mandela had died in prison, like a
right,
lot of people,
right.
but obviously he did not die in prison. He
yeah,
lived
he
to quite
right?
an old age. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think the sort of fringe, not really scientific theory that makes it fun that people want to talk about is like they say like, oh, this is proof of a parallel universe, right? Where
right,
it used
right,
to
right.
be universe A. It was, everyone remembers it this way because it
right.
was spelled, which is, you know, doesn't really seem to, the more plausible explanation is, yeah, probably what you're talking
yeah.
about, where it's this collect, like, for whatever reason, it's, I think it is pronounced Berenstain, so I think there's just something where we think it's spelled
right.
that way too. But I love that because almost I really haven't met anyone who really remembers it the other way. So it's an easy
right.
way to freak people out.
If you held a gun to my head and really made me choose what my favorite TV show was
yeah.
or is of all time, I would maybe say Fringe, right? Which was J.J. Abrams' show right after Lost.
Yeah.
And
okay,
it's
yeah.
all about another, there's a parallel universe, and we're, if you haven't seen it, it's just brilliant.
I
don't know
seen
if you
it.
Watched it. It's just awesome, but you really have to pay attention. Like, it's on the order of the OA, which is on Netflix now, of like you, every single detail. And I've watched it a number of times. It's only like on the third or fourth pass that I've really caught every detail.
Yeah.
Because there's so much nuance in the way that the two universes interact, and they're slowly colliding, which make, you know, complicates the whole thing. But, you know, they delve into all that stuff, so Olivia, who's one of the main characters, when she was young, like, so she has the special ability of being able to hop to the other universe and back.
Yeah.
Like, which is not something anyone else can do. And when she was young, she didn't know she could do it. So she would, like, when she'd be running she'd be running away from her abusive father. And then she would just, because her emotions were high, she would slip into the other universe.
Yeah.
And be there for a minute or two and then slip back.
Yeah.
So she would like suddenly have these like memories that weren't, you know, valid in our universe.
So
it's basically exactly what you're talking
and
about.
And it's the kind of thing where the two universes are similar enough that you wouldn't necessarily
yeah, yeah.
know. Yeah. That's
yeah.
interesting. Yeah.
Like the World Trade Centers are still up in that universe.
Cause I think,
which was,
yeah,
which they, you know, they, J.J. Abrams and the crew, they didn't shy away from that at all. Like, they like the World Trade Centers were a big part of the plot, you know, which I thought was like really risky.
Huh, yeah.
A good risk to take.
Yeah, so. And I love kind of speculative sci-fi stuff, so that sounds like right up my alley. I think people are fascinated by that kind of thing because it's like whenever you have something that exists in the realm of like theoretical science or like it hasn't been disproved and theoretically it's true, it's like, well, that's good territory to explore, even if it's not like literally you know, when you literally put it into experience, like, these are the ramifications, it still can be a great way to, like, explore these ideas. So that's why I like those kinds of things.
Well, I think it was a little too much. It was before the whole Netflix explosion. So, you know, it was network TV. It only went 4 seasons. There was a little extra season that doesn't really count. But, you know, because I just think it was too much to follow on a weekly basis. You had to, I mean, binge watching is the only way to really make sense of it. So
yeah,
if it had come out maybe 5 years later, I think it would have done really well on, like, Netflix or Amazon or Hulu or whatever. Like the OA. The OA seems to be doing very well.
I still have to watch that, too, because I know you've plugged that a few times.
Maybe we could do a television boof.
Yeah, I'd like that.
All right. Well, we're basically done.
Yeah. I mean, until Bachelor in Paradise.
Peter's live with her right now. They're going over the thing. They're going to go to commercial, and then they're going to come back with Brian. Is there anything that happens in the live Brian and Rachel-ness that you feel needs to be discussed?
Not that I can remember off the top of my head. I wonder, does Chris Harrison really have any dynamic with these guys, you think, like, personal dynamic that's not on camera?
I think so.
Because sometimes seems like he has people that, in his way, he either likes to needle or, you know, he has some beef with. And it doesn't seem like he really likes Peter, because as much as I don't like him, Chris Harrison really asks questions as though, like, he's like, if you were to relive that night, do you think you'd do anything differently? Like, he's indicting him. And I'm like, I don't know if he did anything that bad.
Yeah. No, I think you're exactly right. You know, well, like anyone, I think he forms his opinions. But I think just my, based on me following Instagrams and stuff like that, I think he forges friendships with a lot of the people on the show and genuinely hangs out with a lot of them when they're in town and whatnot.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
I think he even might have hooked up with somebody. Because he got divorced not that long ago.
Was his spouse someone famous or someone connected to reality TV?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But there was, like, a lot of pictures, like, on TMZ and stuff with him with, God, I can't even think who it was. But I'm sure he does well in the dating game. I mean, right?
It's, I don't,
like,
think
he's
so.
He's connected to a show about finding love, so, like, you know, he's got to do well. Like,
he's got to be one of the most recognizable and people in hosting a TV show, and he's had the gig for a long time. And in my opinion, he is one of these android people that never ages.
Right.
You know,
right.
And he's going to be on the spaceship if the Earth blows up, he's safe.
Right.
So everyone wants.
He has a ticket to the underneath the Denver airport.
Exactly.
Well. I might have said this before, but if it was between him and the guy from Amazing Race, I would definitely take the guy from Amazing Race, the host. I like him.
I've got to watch that.
He's my type.
I don't know him.
Okay, so Chris.
Greg.
This time next week, we're going to be talking Bachelor in Paradise, and I am fired up. I cannot wait. I love Bachelor in Paradise. I think this is going to be a great season. The previews look good. They apparently are going to confront the DeMario Corinne situation.
They confront that a little bit in the promo, or they tease that.
Yeah, yeah. Which, you know, seems a little exploitative. You know, it's like you're using that footage, really? Like, I mean, whatever. It's whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. I got nothing to say about that.
Unsurprising, maybe. I don't know if you would agree with that. But for me, I thought, well, you know, if you're going to air that and you're a reality TV show, of course you're going to use that.
Yeah. What I think I'm going to like about this, it looks like General Lee isn't on there, which is great. It's like, I think what I'm going to like about this season is there's not that one main villain like Chad.
Oh, yeah, Chad.
Really, you know, like, a lot of the focus is on, like, how much he pisses people off. And, it, like, I really like it when, like, people are hooking up and in good moods, and there's lots of, and then, like, you know, one person switches to another person, and that's what I find really fun about the show.
Yeah,
and it seems like a good group for that. Like, they're all seem to be likable characters, and you know, I guess the twins are going to be back.
Twinning, hashtag twinning.
Yeah, hashtag twinning, and maybe one of them hook up. You want to talk about two girls that, or two people, I don't want to gender it, that, like, literally do not understand physical contact and relationships with people. It's them too. Like, because they just, like, never go past the, like, hi phase with anyone. But, like, one of them seems to indicate in the preview that she might have a love interest.
Hmm.
So
it seems like there's multiple people after Dean, our heartthrob from this season, who was
guy
cut...
with no upper lip.
With no upper lip. Yeah,
it seems like that's not deterring the women from going after him.
What if there was some show where Dean had a transformation, going from no upper lip to, like, suddenly he had a huge upper lip, and that was the whole focus of the show? Is, like,
yeah, the show could be called Huge Upper Lip. Or big upper lip, or isn't that a phrase? Big upper lip.
I think big. Did you say big or thick?
Is that a phrase? Thick upper lip.
It sounds like it could be. If it's not, let's start.
He's got a straight upper lip.
I feel like that's the hit. If we had a time machine to 2036, the hit reality show is called Thick Upper Lip, and it's like it's marketed, you know, as not as like a novelty or thing. It's just like that's the hit show for the season.
Yeah, it's said of the British that they have straight upper lips because they don't laugh. They don't show their emotions.
All right, or like, don't they say stiff upper lip for that?
Stiff upper lip. That's it.
Okay. Yeah,
all right. All right. I think we're getting delirious here. I think we should shut this down.
All right. Quick question.
We've lost all listeners that we started with.
Is next week season two of Bachelor Masters, or is it a continuation of season one?
Oh, it's season two. It's definitely a new season of Bachelor Masters.
Oh, boy. So, people, if you made it this far, this is the finale, the fireworks. Next week, we begin anew. We're going to be like the phoenix from the ashes. We're burning everything down right now. We start anew.
Wow.
I can't wait.
Wow. Yeah. That's great, Chris. And, you know, speaking of you know, that sound effects, I've been wanting to get a software that can give me the ability to, like, insert sound effects into our show.
Yeah.
You know, like, funny sound bits in here. But so far I've struck out. But, hey, maybe we'll have that by next week. We're going to reinvent ourselves.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Maybe we'll have intro music.
A little intro. Hey, I'll see if I can... Hey, the possibilities are endless. Maybe we'll talk about this off air.
Yeah. Okay, sounds good. Well... to all one listener we have now far into today's podcast, we appreciate it. Twitter at Bachelor Masters. And before you hear us again, we will have a Facebook something called Bachelor Masters. So look for us. We'll tweet it. We'll talk about it next week. And maybe we'll have sound effects. But for sure, we're going to be talking about Corinne and DeMario. Can't wait.
Yes. And conspiracies about aliens. Absolutely.
Alrighty. See you next week.
See ya, Craig. Bye.